Well, good to see y'all here this evening. Welcome those of us online. Praise the Lord. If you would, please stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing Something Beautiful. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, He understood. All I had to offer Him of my life. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, He understood. But He made something beautiful of my life. But He made something beautiful of my life. Jesus, Jesus, Lord to me, Master, Savior, Prince of Peace, Ruler of my Savior, Prince of Peace, Ruler of my life today, Jesus, Lord to me. Jesus, Lord, to me. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer, I think of him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent, his love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. Amen. Love divine, all love's excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. Breathe, O breathe, thy loving spirit into every troubled breast. Let us all in thee inherit, let us find the promised rest. Take away our bent to sinning, Alpha and Omega be. End of faith as its beginning, set our hearts at liberty. Come, Almighty, to deliver, let us all thy life receive. Suddenly return and never, never more thy temples leave. Thee we would be always blessing, serve thee as thy hosts above. Pray and praise thee without ceasing, glory in thy perfect love. Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation, perfectly restored in thee. Changed from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place. Till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody have a pick of him this evening? No? All right. Praise the Lord.
Good evening, everyone. Miss Luby, you want to give a little rundown of the camp? The camp time you guys had? Yeah, get you a mic.
And so, and I do have a lot of pictures. I did make a post. I put it on our page. And because I know they wanted to do a slideshow, but I didn't know how long that would take to get together. So I just put them out there. And some of the parents, they really wanted to see them. So
yeah,
it was a blessing. It really was. First off, I had no idea that as many parents were going to come
right
as did. And even had some visitors come also for a little bit, Ron's friends, and then Terry's daughter and husband, they came for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then the other ones stayed.
Amen.
And it was a blessing. So we really wanted them to earn some badges, so we made that part of our Awanas just to keep them interested, and they, you know, they loved earning these badges. So it was the Miss Debbie came out, and her and Miss Terry took them on a hiking trip through this little trail back there,
right.
And they went over safety, and they went over, you know, about all the plants and stuff. So they earned that badge. Then they had to learn how to create a campfire, which Brother Ron did an awesome job, and
Brother Ron,
all about it, what we needed to do. Then we split up into leader groups, and they all earned that. And then, of course, putting together the tent, same thing, we split up. So it was a blessing. So they got all their badges with their sashes. Brother Ron provided excellent food, as always. I think some of the parents are like, oh, my God, we need to do this again. They were like,
I like the food of it, yeah.
Yes, I mean, it was like good food. I'm just saying. So, we be Baptists, we eat. And so, we had time by the campfire, and we did all that, sang some good songs. One of the parents brought out a guitar, and he played along with us to, you know, I've decided to follow Jesus.
Amen.
We had a great devotion. We thank Ryan.
All right, Ryan.
And all the parents were listening. The kids were listening, and it was neat. I was telling them, I said, you know, it's really neat. You know, it's really good when after the devotion, the parents gathered around him, a lot of the parents, and were talking to him about God. They were discussing about what he was talking about, and, you know, and it was just a blessing. All
amen,
around,
amen.
So the parents were very thankful. So
very
I'm just
good.
Thankful we were able to do it, and look forward to next year.
Amen. Looks like a good group. That's
we
great.
We had a great group.
That's great. All right. Well, let's do these prayer requests. Or do we have any praises? I guess that's a praise. The camp out. Awana camp out's a praise.
Nobody got hurt.
Nobody got lost. You ended up with the same amount of kids the following morning you started with. That's great. And that was on a what night? A Friday night?
Friday night.
A Friday night. That's amazing. All right, a water camp trip. That's great. All right, other praises. Anything else?
We all got through the holiday.
Yeah.
My daughter, unfortunately, was in a car accident, over the holiday, but it was, she ran into some gravel, and so she did hit some railing, but no one was hurt. She wasn't hurt. The car was hurt.
Yeah, amen.
But
younger daughter?
This is Christina. This is my youngest daughter.
Youngest daughter.
Yes, and so she's trying to work out all the insurance details, so we can pray about that. But I'm so thankful that she is alive.
Amen. By the crash. Miss Sissy, did you get any commits from your interviews?
Just three good interviews.
Three good interviews, okay. All right, very good.
Gosh.
All right, any other praises? No other praise. All right, prayer requests.
Pray for my sister.
All right, Lorna. Any update on that?
No.
Okay.
I did miss one praise, and it's along with the prayer request. My cousin Leroy. He made it to that center in Virginia, so this has happened over the last week and a half or so.
Yeah.
And he went through all the testing, and they have approved him, and they moved him to the top of the list for a liver transplant.
Wow.
So, good Lord willing, his strength will hold, because he's getting sicker and sicker until they can get, you know, give it to him. So, but he's at the top of the list, so Lord willing, they're thinking the next week or so.
Okay.
So, it's kind of amazing. I'm trusting the Lord, but yeah, this is what they're telling them because they ran all the tests. So just keep praying about that, you know.
And
he's allowing me to read the Bible to him over the phone. As a matter of fact, he says, "Yes, reading the Bible sounds good." And so He still believes that he is saved, and he could very well be.
Amen.
And so, but I'm just trying to read some scripture to give him some comfort and that
right.
kind of thing. Because he is, there's a times when he was scared, you know, he'd say, I'm just fearful, I'm scared.
Right.
So just keep him in prayer.
Amen. Amen. Very good. All right. So we've got Lorna Wade, and we're going to pray for Leroy. All right, Brother Ronnie's
pray
got
for this country. This
country.
Debt ceiling, and it looks like it's going to be a civil war between the Democrats and the Republicans. It's getting so bad.
Just pray for a couple of my friends. You know, one of them's name is Pierce, and the other one is Josh. And then my friend Maddie as well.
Pierce and Josh and Maddie. And what are we praying for them about?
Salvation.
Salvation. Okay. Salvation. Amen, man. All right. Pierce, Josh, and Maddie, salvation. You got it. What else? What else? Any other prayer needs?
Yep.
Shut-ins.
James's mom. Just getting older, sir.
She,
84, I believe.
She's in a little depression because his sister's daughter's got something, some kind of disconnect with the spine or something, gives her migraines. So she's having to take care of her daughter and not spending as much time with her.
Looks like you ran out of juice.
Check two. There we go. Back on. All right.
There you go.
Very good. Let there be sound. All right. There was sound. All right. So we got Jeanette.
And of course, pray for the safety of our students now that they're on vacation.
Amen. Student safety. Got it. Student safety. Amen. All right.
All right. The lady that comes with Jackie with the four girls and one boy, Stormy, pray for her because she's thinking about going back to her husband. Abusive situations, right? And, pray that God gives her wisdom to not to go back into that lifestyle.
What's the husband's name?
We don't know that.
Okay, be situation wisdom.
I just said Jimmy. I don't know.
You don't know what his name is. All right. All right. Any other prayer needs? All right, all right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer then, shall we? Amen.
Amen.
Vince, you got anything back there? All right. Vince's finances. His Vince's payroll account direct deposit got hacked.
Oh, okay.
And he had two paychecks going to somebody else's account. So he's trying to recoup those funds and get his payroll set back up so he can get paid again. So I think for the fifth time in 20-something years, we had to report a little credit card fraud on our credit card, but that's little bitty stuff compared to what Vince is going through. Compared to paycheck.
It's annoying, though.
Yeah, I told the old guy, you know, normally when you call a credit card company, you get somebody in India, you know, you're trying to communicate with them, and it's just really difficult. I could not believe. I called my Bank of America customer service number today, and I got some guy in Alabama that sounded like me. And I first thought, I'm getting scammed.
Again.
This is not the right number. And so I had to mess with my phone and make sure the number I had dialed was the same number on the credit card. And it was. But anyway, that guy helped me out. And I told him it's not a lot of money. It's over $100. But I said it's just it's the principle of the thing. They've been skimming it off of me for 9 months. You know, not just now catching it, you know. You know, you get several dishonest folks skimming from you every month, and you know,
right.
You just don't know what's going on, man. You got money going out the door. And it adds up. And that's what I told the old guy. I said, it's not so much the amount, it's just the principle. And he goes, you know, we're going to have to close your account out, send you a new credit card. And I go, I know. I almost spend more time setting up all my payments than this money's worth. But I go, those people are not keeping my money. I go, I didn't use their services. I don't even know who they are. They're not keeping it. So anyway. All right, so you pray for Vince, and we'll hopefully get him straightened out back there. Anything else, folks?
Yeah, pray for our people that have addictions.
All right, addictions? Struggle with addiction. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. We thank you for this blessed day, Lord. We thank you for the rain that's fallen in the area today. And, Lord, we just pray you'd continue to send those refreshing sea breeze showers. And, Lord, we're so thankful we're in a wetter, rainy pattern this late spring going into early summer than we were last year. We give you the praise and glory for that, Lord. We just pray you continue to send that rain on us and keep this place green and watered up. And Lord, we know things are going to get dry maybe in July and August, but Lord, we pray that we'd get a good head start with the rain we've received and what you continue to send on us. We pray for those farmers, those that depend upon it. Pray, Lord, that you just keep them going with the rain this summer and this late spring. We praise you and thank you for it. Lord, we're thankful and we praise you for our salvation. We thank you for that grace and that mercy. And, Lord, as we get ready to talk again from Leviticus 17, we're thankful for the blood, the preciousness of it. And, Lord, as we seek to get into your word in a little bit, we pray that we would sense the importance of it and how you have tried to teach us for thousands of years the importance of this blood. So, Lord, I pray we'd get that as we get ready to get into the Word. Lord, we praise you tonight for this Awana camp trip. We're thankful that nobody got hurt. Everybody had a good time. And we're thankful for the visitors that were in attendance. And, Lord, we pray you might continue to draw visitors to your church. And, Lord, allow some of these folks to stick. And plant their lives right here with us. So, Lord, we're thankful for that, the opportunity. We're thankful for the potential of it. And we're thankful for the great safety they had. We're thankful, Lord, we came through the holiday safe. As far as we know, I haven't heard of a whole lot going on. We're thankful that Miss Loopy's daughter survived this little fender bender she had, sliding into some guardrail. We're thankful that she's safe. And, Lord, cars can be replaced and repainted and all that jazz. So, Lord, we're thankful for that. And then, Lord, we're thankful that Cousin Leroy has gotten into this liver transplant program. Lord, we just pray for his body that you just sustain him, give him health, keep him healthy so that he can receive another lease on life. And so, Lord, we're thankful that he's hearing the word and that he's willing to receive the word being read to him. And Lord, we just we pray for him, pray you might touch his body and bring healing to him. Lord, we lift up Lorna Wade to you tonight. We pray that you'd help her with this cancer that she's fighting with. We pray for a miracle of healing in her life. And Lord, that you just might remove it from her and just give her a new lease on life as well. Lord, we lift up Ronnie Holman to you tonight. We pray for his cancer battle. Pray you might touch his body and bring healing to him. We lift up Ronnie Vaculik to you tonight, Lord. We pray him for what's going on with his liver and pancreas and these growths, Lord. We just pray that you would shrink those things and just, Lord, by a miracle of God, you might remove them from him and just take them, make them go away. And Lord, may the Holy Spirit just touch him in such a way that brings healing to his body. So, Lord, we lift him up to you tonight. Others in our congregation, John Thornhill, Lord, and that back issue that he's struggling with. And Lord, our shut-ins that are wanting to be here but just physically can't get here, we pray that you'd help them with their physical ailments and their emotional struggles, Lord. And we pray the live stream would be a spiritual blessing to them and just help them get through their week, get through their day as they're able to worship with us online. We pray for our shut-ins tonight. Lord, we lift up Pierce and Josh and Maddie, Lord, and we're praying for their salvation. We pray you might put people across their paths that might share with them the good news, the gospel message. Lord, we pray you might bring these individuals to a crossroads in their life. Lord, they have to make a decision about who you are. And Lord, we pray that they would decide correctly and they would decide rightly and receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, we lift up our country right now in the midst of this debt ceiling crisis and, Lord, just spending more money than we got coming in. And, Lord, we pray that there would be some kind of an equitable compromise that everybody can kind of get behind and live with. Lord, we know it's not going to get solved here in the next 2 or 3 days. But, Lord, we pray the economy would keep going and it would not stumble and not fall back. But Lord, we pray for these politicians that you would help them think about the folks they're representing. And Lord, everyone's livelihood's at stake here. And Lord, we pray that there would be some wisdom in the room and some common sense. And Lord, help them hammer out a deal that'll at least point us in the right direction of not spending more than what we're bringing in. So, Lord, we lift up our country to you tonight. Lord, we thank you for James and his love for his mother, and we lift up Jeanette to you tonight, struggling with depression, a little bit of loneliness. Lord, we pray that you might fill that void in her, Lord, and just bring her comfort, peace, passes all understanding. Lord, we're praying for our students that are out, praying for their safety. Students all across the area, Lord, out for the summer, praying for their safety, Lord. They make wise decisions, good decisions. Lord, just help them not make those life-altering decisions that sometimes kids will choose to make. Lord, we lift up Stormy to you tonight. We pray for this marriage that she is in, this abusive situation. We pray that you might provide a way, make a way for her to not have to go back that situation, Lord. We pray that you would give her the ability to provide for her kids or show her the support that she needs. Just, Lord, direct her, lead, guide, and direct her. Just pray you give her wisdom in that situation. And then, Lord, we lift up Vince to you tonight. We pray you might put a hedge of protection around what's going on in his life with this thievery coming out of his payroll. Lord, we pray that the perpetrators might be brought to justice, that the funds might be able to be recovered, and that, Lord, you would see Vince and Terry through during this time of lost income. So, Lord, we lift them up to you. We pray, Lord, for Sunday service. We pray that you would be in our midst as we get ready to come back together on the Lord's Day. But, Lord, right here, right now, we're thankful for your presence here tonight. We pray you might lead us and guide us as we go through your word tonight. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, all right, all right, very good. Well, we're in Leviticus 17, and what are we talking about? Anybody? Well, we are talking about the law, so to speak. Sacrifices. We're talking about that thing that is drained out of that body at that sacrifice. The blood, that's it. The blood. Talking about the blood, man. So let's try to get into it. Leviticus chapter 17. We've pretty much read all of that chapter. But we will be looking at some other passages here this evening. You remember last time, last Wednesday night, we had a graduation, and that was a great time. Our awards ceremony, our awards banquet, that was a big, big time. And so we didn't have Bible study last Wednesday. And so Sunday night, we were off for Memorial Day weekend. So it's been a few cycle Bible study times that we've missed. So let's kind of jump back in it. Last time we talked, we said the Old Testament will continue, even from Leviticus on forward through the Old Testament, it will continue to clarify and expand on the value, on the preciousness, on the importance of shed blood for what? For atonement. That is how you're saved. Your sins have been atoned for. They've been paid for. They've been taken care of. Very, very important stuff we're talking about. Amen? You get it? Isaiah chapter 53 is kind of that key chapter that where it kind of all comes together. Isaiah chapter 53. When we get into the New Testament, the matter will come into full focus in the light of the atonement which God has provided for all of humanity in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And last time as we were talking about it, we shared 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. He says this, Peter writing, he says, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ." And what we said, and what we're going to review right here, right now, what we said was that Peter does not compare the precious blood of Christ to gold or silver. He contrasts it with these supposedly precious metals. You find gold or silver on this earth, that's a big-time deal to create that stuff. A lot of heat, a lot of pressure, nuclear reaction to bring all that together. He places, Peter does, gold and silver in the category of perishable things, which infers to us that the blood of Christ is imperishable and thus of eternal value. And we know, of course, that this is the case, for in heaven, it will be the shed blood of the Lamb of God, which is still valued for saving sinners. We'll never forget the blood. Hopefully, we don't forget it in this lifetime. Now, this evening, we pick it back up, beginning with two passages from the book of Revelation. Now, if you want to turn there, you're more than welcome to. I'll read them to you if you don't. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Give you just a second if you want to turn there. Revelation chapter 1, are you there? Anybody that wants to be? Those of you with us online, I didn't say good evening to you. Good to have you tonight, folks. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, the Word of God reads this: "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his what? By his blood," yeah? And then Revelation chapter 5, Revelation 5. Let's pick it up in verse 6, Revelation 5, 6, four chapters past where we were. Everybody at Revelation 5 wants to be? Revelation 5, verse 6. All right, online folks, hopefully you're with me. Revelation 5, verse 6 says, "And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals. For you were slain and purchased for God with your men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation." Amen and amen. Now, a matter as important as the atoning work of Christ was so vital, so important, so precious, that God, in His wisdom, long beforehand, began to prepare humanity, began to prepare men for its coming to pass. That's why we have, that's one of the reasons we have Leviticus chapter 17. That's why we have the whole book of Leviticus. Thus we find the preciousness of blood and the principle of atonement revealed very early in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, the books of Moses, the books of the Torah. And then it's clarified throughout the remainder of the Old Testament, and then it's really focused on and really brought into full light and revelation in the New Testament, especially Jesus Christ on the cross. With me? This leads me to a very important application. It is the principle of progressive revelation. Progressive revelation provides us with a vital clue to the importance on any teaching. You find something in the Old Testament that's been brought all the way through it and into the New Testament, that's something you really want to pay attention to, right? That's something you really want to pay attention to, progressive revelation. Now, because the atoning work of Christ was so important, so precious, God began to reveal the underlying principles very early in time. And I believe the same thing can be said for any doctrine of the Bible that is truly vital, truly important, truly precious. You don't find in the beginnings of Genesis or the beginnings of the first five books of the Bible about how many angels you can fit on a pinhead, and nor is it talked about later on in the prophets, and nor is it mentioned in the New Testament, nor is it does it show up in Revelation? Certainly angels show up, but not how many of them you can get anywhere, right? And so you've heard and I've heard people mention that in jest. That's not a doctrine that divides us, right? That's not a doctrine that really brings us together. But this doctrine we're talking about tonight, the preciousness of the blood, the atonement by the blood, that is a most important doctrine. Still with me? Now, I would hope that you could readily and enthusiastically agree with this principle that important doctrines should have a long history of being progressively revealed. And yet the practice of many, I won't name churches, I won't name individuals, all right? The practice of many out there that claim to be teachers or preachers of the word, they violate this principle. Think about it for a moment. What characterizes those truths about which some preachers, some teachers become most enthusiastic, in which they are so eager to proclaim to others? Well, let me suggest a few of the characteristics of revelation which is eagerly sought and taught. Every now and then, somebody will say, "I've got a truth. God spoke to me. And it's new. And it's novel." It doesn't have a long track record. God spoke to me. That truth which is new and novel, which doesn't have a long track record, you need to look out, friend. Often these truths, so-called truths, are packaged and sold under the guise that God has in these last days revealed some new and wonderful truths. And rather than feeling the need to apologize for this novelty, these false teachers look down upon those in the past as less enlightened than they are. right? Because God spoke to them. This excuses their teaching from having to conform either to biblical revelation or from the church's understanding of it through the history of the church, right? It kind of takes any and all accountability away from them. Now, in the book of Acts, we see this desire for newness in the philosophers of Athens. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Acts, the book of Acts in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, right? Is that right, Acts? Yeah, amen. Acts 17. Acts 17, if you want to turn there. And the verses, hold on right quick. Acts 17, are you there? Oh, something new. Look at verse 19 with me. We'll take it through verse 21. And they took him, talking about Paul, they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is which you are proclaiming? For you're bringing some strange things to our ears, so we want to know what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the strangers visiting there used to spend their time. That's all they did. They used to spend their time in nothing other than telling or hearing something new, right? They thought Paul was bringing them something new. Paul's bringing them something real. Paul's bringing them something eternal, right? Now, that truth, which is obscure, which is not clearly taught, and thus not recognized and accepted by most evangelical Christians, I'm talking about characteristics of revelation which is eagerly sought and taught. It's that truth that which is obscure, which is not clearly taught, and thus not recognized and accepted by most evangelical Christians. And do you know what? When it comes to the blood of Christ, a lot of evangelical Christians have done what? Gotten away from it. The blood of Christ, preacher? Yeah. The blood of Christ. They talk about the life of Jesus. They talk about His life. But friend, He shed His blood. That is correct. You cannot get away from that. Amen? In the days of the New Testament, churches took the form, this truth that they would spin, or this new truth, or not really truth, but they would spin it, and it's called, and we've already mentioned it on Sunday mornings, it's Gnosticism. Also in Paul's letters to Timothy, there was the warning against speculative teaching. Your teaching needs to be backed up by the Word of God. Amen, amen? We're talking about characteristics of revelation which is eagerly sought and taught, that truth which conforms to one's evil lifestyle and which enables the believer to follow his own appetites and evil desires. Now, I'll talk about the movement. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but it's the health, wealth, and prosperity movement, right? And so, it's just a big Ponzi scheme in a lot of ways, how the church operates and what the people are seeking to get. And it's not really about bringing our best or bringing our worship or it's about us getting all the time. Health, wealth, prosperity movement, it's about us getting instead of giving and being used. Does that make, do you see the difference in that? Amen. Strangely enough, the new doctrines which are seen by the spiritual elite and missed by the masses are those truths which justify the sins of its followers. Now, Paul warns of those who will have itching ears, who will gather people who preach to their preferences. And I want to say, it doesn't go on here, but it goes on more than you think in other places. It goes on more than you think. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy. We'll look at that passage right quick. I've had people over the course of almost 30 years of pastoral ministry and preaching, try to see if I've got an itching ear. I don't. For the time, because this passage is the, you know, every preacher that I know of, there may be some that don't, but every preacher that I know of that, quote, talks about his call, he has different parts of the Bible, different, maybe it's a book or it's a chapter of a Bible book or whatever, but he has certain little stackpole verses that in his early life or before he surrendered to the call, those passages resonated to him in such a way that he could not get away from them. This is that passage, one of the passages for me. 2 Timothy 4, I'll just pick it up in verse 1. It says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, 2 Timothy 4, 1, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction, for the time will come. Verse 3, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. Does that make sense? Yeah. Peter likewise warns of those who teach in a way that enables and encourages men to indulge in the flesh. Let's look at 2 Peter. We've mentioned 1 Peter this evening, but let's look at 2 Peter. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, and then you get to the Johns. 2 Peter, chapter 2. 2 Peter, chapter 2, if you will. 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 18. Have you got there? 2 Peter 2, 18. 2 Peter, chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. For speaking out arrogant words of vanity, they entice by fleshly desires, by sensuality, those who barely escape from the ones who live in error, promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. So, bad teaching, unbiblical preaching, not focusing on the blood, That'll get you missing salvation. That's what I'm talking about. Now, let us learn from the principle of progressive revelation. And we got progressive revelation. He taught God the Father, talks about something early in the Bible, and he keeps on mentioning it all the way through the Word. Progressive. He gives you more info, more intel, more focus, more this is that, more, boy, you better remember. All the way through the Bible. Now, that's progressive revelation. Kind of like a progressive meal. You just get more and more and more of it, right? So let us learn from the principle of progressive revelation that those truths which are vital and most valuable are those which have been taught in greater and greater clarity throughout the entire Bible. Therefore, let those matters which are scarcely mentioned not be major concerns or undue subjects for our curiosity. Stick with the majors. Let the minors go. In addition, the principle of progressive revelation provides us with the key to quickly discern one's orthodoxy. What in the world are you talking about when you say orthodoxy? I'm talking about, are you conservative Christian tonight? Do you believe the Bible tonight, right? One of the best tests of orthodoxy is to determine what value one places on the blood of Jesus Christ. Simple. You think you want to visit a church? You think you want to be a part of a congregation? Ask somebody in the know in that congregation what they think about the blood of Christ. Simple question, isn't it? I mean, you can ask a Jehovah's Witness that and figure out pretty quick they don't care much about that. You can ask a Mormon, what do you think about the blood of Christ? You're not going to get much out of them. You can go to some health, wealth, prosperity movement churches, talk about the blood. You're not going to get much out of them either, right? As mentioned previously, the doctrine of the preciousness of shed blood develops in its full bloom in the New Testament by declaring that the most precious substance of all is the what? The shed blood of Christ. More than silver and gold or anything else we could come up with. In addition, the principle of progressive revelation provides us with a key to quickly discern that orthodoxy, right? Mentioned that. Thus, anyone who denies, you hearing me? If somebody denies the preciousness of the blood, could they have experienced faith? I do not think so. I don't think so. If they deny. Now, somebody can be ignorant, not quite schooled up on it, but if they literally deny the preciousness of the blood, I don't think there's true faith up in there. Now, I'm not the final judge, but I'm just throwing that out. Amen? You don't have to write that down. You can delete that from the video, right? But I'm just telling you, right? Anyone who denies the preciousness of the blood, I don't think there's true faith going on there. Not true faith as explained in the Bible. And thus, I don't think there's saving faith in that heart, right? Now, let me give you the application. We don't need to know everything which a certain sect, which a certain denomination, which a certain church teaches, although they may be eager to teach us what they believe about this or that. We only need to know what they make of Christ's blood. That's it. They may not even practice baptism the same way we practice. I wouldn't attend that church, but there may be some folks in there saved if they got the blood thing right. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. So, in Christ, is Christ's blood, the question you ask, is Christ's blood alone what atones for our sins? That's a question. Isn't that a simple question? It's not long and drawn out. It's not protracted. Is Christ's blood alone what atones for our sins? And they said, well, what do you mean by atone? What takes care of our sin? What covers our sin? What word do you want to use? You want to use atone, cover? Is Christ's blood alone what atones for our sins? Here is one of the touchstones for who we are as Christians. This question may not flush out all heretics, but I want to tell you, this question will expose most of them. It'll give you an idea if you're in a place. I think I may need to leave right now. Just turn around and hightail it out. If they attempt to answer honestly, right? If they attempt to answer that question honestly. Now, from our own Southern Baptist Convention, Baptist Faith and Message. Now, I was perusing this SBC BFM. I don't have it memorized. Every couple of years, I'll look at it, see if they've changed anything. But I would even hope that they would be a little bit stronger on the blood. It could be a little bit stronger here, but this is what they say. Southern Baptist Convention, go to sbcnet.net. Type in the search bar, Baptist Faith and Message. This will come up. It's under salvation. Salvation involves the redemption of the whole man. We believe that. Amen? And is offered freely to all who accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We agree with that. Amen? This is where they get it right. Who by his own blood obtained eternal redemption for the believer. I would have put that in caps all bold, but they didn't. That's okay. In its broadest sense, salvation includes regeneration, justification, sanctification, and glorification. That's a good statement they make there. And then they end it with this. There is no salvation apart from personal faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. Amen? So I give them kudos for that. but I might have put a few more things in there about the blood. Now, the preciousness of blood in God's sight. The preciousness of blood in God's sight. That's what you got to take away from Leviticus. That's what you really got to take away from chapter 17. The preciousness of blood in God's sight. The Israelite of old learned from Leviticus, as nowhere else up to that point in the time of the biblical record, the preciousness of blood to God. So how much greater value does blood take on for the New Testament saint, whose blessings are all a result of the shed blood of Jesus Christ? As one commentator summarized it, he said, "The blood is the life of the flesh," Leviticus 17:11. And then he wrote, "It is through the atoning blood of Christ that the believer receives redemption," 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, which we read as we began. He said that the believer receives redemption, that the believer receives forgiveness, Ephesians 1:7, that the believer receives justification, Romans 5:9, that the believer receives spiritual peace, Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, and that the believer receives sanctification, Hebrews 13, verse 12. It's a powerful thing, the blood of Christ. What do we talk about during communion? The blood. And the bread, but the blood. Amen? Making sense to you tonight? Amen. All right, all right. We'll end it there and pick it up Sunday p.m. if we get the opportunity to do it. Amen? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Again, Lord, we thank you again for our salvation. We thank you for that blood, Lord, that atones for our sins. Justifies us, sanctifies us, allows us to be glorified one day in heaven. We thank you for that new body that awaits us, all because of the blood of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the preciousness of it. May we experience that peace that passes all understanding because of that shed blood. And Lord, may we take the message of peace and grace and mercy into a lost and dying world. Thank you, Lord, for churches that get this right. And Lord, we pray for those churches that are getting it wrong, that they would come around to getting it right. Lord, thank you for helping us and leading us along the path. May we continue to stay on it. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, you dismissed. All right, online folks, we'll see you next time.